to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. Here are your hosts, Robert Gold and Andrew Brown.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, this week way off to the east, I can see Malignant Cove, Nova Scotia. I'm Robert Gold, managing partner of Bennett Gold LLP, chartered accountants in Toronto.
And I'm Andrew Brown, president of Right on the Money.
And somehow I'm getting out from under the swarm of tax filings to do this interview. Andrew, I'm really excited today. This podcast, of course, produced in partnership with Profit Magazine and ProfitGuide.com. Randy Litchfield is with us. Randy is the CEO, Inbox Marketer, InboxMarketer.com. Randy, welcome to the Profit Business Cast.
Oh, thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Andrew, email marketing, it's really your area of expertise. I'm going to sit back and let you carry the show. Why inbox marketing, Andrew, and why email marketing this week?
Randy is really going to help us answer that question, but email has evolved and continues to evolve. It will always play a role in everyone's digital lives. But the fascinating thing is the way that it's going, and Randy will be able to help us understand that as he's helping us understand how Inbox Marketer has evolved.
And it's certainly a changing world. So, Randy, how about it? The elevator pitch for yourself and Inbox Marketer.
Essentially, we build online communities for our corporate clients, and we do that by using digital messaging to connect those clients in really what are one-to-one conversations with their customers. And they could have millions of customers, like, you know, AT&T is a client in the U.S., and the technology is such now that you can send messages, and they can all be different, and they can relate very particularly to the interests of each individual recipient. So that's really what we do. We really build very vibrant online communities for clients, and we enable them to really have very personal one-to-one conversations with their many customers.
Is it correct for us to say that the main tool that you use in building that community is email, or do you use a combination? We just want to make sure that we're direct.
Yeah, well, both statements are correct. It is the main tool, but we do use a variety. And really, we call it digital messaging now. So we began as an email service provider 12 years ago when email was the only digital messaging channel. But of course, since then, we've added mobile and social media. And when we say digital messaging, we're really talking about channels where you have a unique address, right? So I know I'm sending a message to you, whether it's by email or through SMS text messaging or through digital media. You're the only recipient.
Let's jump into Inbox Marketer, because you do hold a unique place in that digital conversation profession. You're a software as a service provider in that very fuzzy middle, if I can say that. You're not a company that's large, like an ExactTarget or Silverpop that was recently purchased by IBM, nor are you sort of that entry-level email marketing conversation that a Constant Contact or an iContact or a MailChimp, but you're in that middle. Help us understand your thinking
Sure.
behind going there.
We're not a large company. We're about 50-some-odd employees, but we started as an email service provider. So our traditional business has been full-service email marketing for very large corporate clients. You know, our original business was really a Fortune 500 kind of business, and even today, about 70% of our revenue comes from really, really large companies, whether it's a Scotiabank here in Canada or a Manulife or an AT in the U.S. But in the last few years, we've evolved from a full-service company to a products company. So we built a unified messaging platform, which we call Umpire, which does send all those three digital messaging channels. With that platform, because it's a self-serve platform, we're targeting mid-size companies in North America. And by mid-size, I mean about $1 billion and less in revenue. The Fortune 500 market is very much a full-service market. The larger the company, the less they do themselves, ironically enough. And so we do everything for a very large company, from graphic design to copywriting to strategy to deployment to measurement and so forth, everything. But we noticed over the years that with our mid-sized clients, they tended to be more hands-on and closer to it, and they really wanted to do some of the deployment on their own. But by the same token, they're also, in some ways, more strategic. They wanted strategic advice. They wanted higher-end consultation services like message optimization and strategy. And so that's what we've built Umpire for them, is a really easy-to-use self-serve messaging platform that they can take control of and use as a software as a service. But we find that platform also generates the need for kind of higher-end strategic services. It's served both our product side of our business, but also our service side. And it's growing us, our company, into a new market.
Well, when you talk about the new market, I'm a little curious about the growth potential. Because you're aiming at the mid-market, is there somewhere along the line you're going to be stymied, say, that's it, we've hit a wall?
What we're calling Umpire is really we're productizing ourselves. We're productizing what we've traditionally sold as a service. So it's a much more scalable enterprise that way. And that was one of the reasons we did it. You know, in the 12 years we've been in business, we've been on the Profit 500 fastest growing companies list, I believe, 6 years in a row. And we've moved 4 times. And frankly, I just got tired of moving. And so with a service company, you're not as scalable as you would like to be. You know, you acquire a new client, you hire new people, and so forth and so forth. By productizing yourself, we're able to serve many, many more clients with the same number of people. We don't have to grow the premises or the staff at the same rate as we would with full service. That was another reason why we entered the product realm.
Randy, as I understand, some of your competitors have adopted marketing automation as part of their sphere. Have you thought about taking that path? And what do you see as being the pros and the cons as you're evaluating that?
We live in the age of specialization. So the secret to our success, I think one of the secrets anyway, is the fact that we focused on digital messaging. So we are one of the foremost digital messaging experts. From the very early days, we could have chosen to, well, why don't we do websites as well and do this and do that? But the fact is, every ad agency does websites, and there were tons of competitors there, very few in digital messaging. And oddly enough, that remains the case today as well. So we really do strive to be the messaging piece of the puzzle when it comes to digital marketing. We want to be that messaging piece. All our expertise is aimed there. We are a best practices shop. We are more up to date on this than I believe anybody. We'll hold our own with anybody. And the larger platforms, I think they're kind of making a strategic mistake by going to these other services, because there are other companies that do marketing automation probably better. You know, they've been at it for years. I'm talking about a Unica and some other platforms like that who specialize in it. Meanwhile, those marketing automation platforms, they tend to have email modules, but they're not very good. So we've fashioned Umpire so it could be the messaging piece of any of those platforms. So this is our knitting. We're pretty much sticking to it, and for very good strategic reasons, I think.
I wonder, Randy, if you'll share something with me. We put out an email newsletter to our clients from our CA firm. It's been going out for a number of years. It goes out weekly. We believe it's widely read and received. But what's the one trick that I could take under advisement from you to make our click-throughs, our openings, our reads even better than they are now?
Testing is really the single most important thing anybody could do. Many do not test at all. By testing, I mean testing a subject line or testing different content. So number one, I would test. I would have a controlled test, segment your audience. One gets message A, the other gets message B. You're almost always surprised by the results. That would be number one. Number two would be to segment your newsletter. I don't know the size of your newsletter base, but being an accounting firm, you have a widely varied audience with different needs. My advice would be to segment those into a few basic segments. One is to do with real estate, another has to do with another part of your clientele, and target the content accordingly to those segments, and that will almost always make opens and clicks improve and readership and retention. So number one, test. Number two, segment.
Well, it sounds like relevance is where you're driving that, and I want to bring that back to our discussion about Inbox Marketer. Because of your commitment to the mid-market, I wonder if you had an opportunity to serve one of those big firms that caused you to get out of that productization and get you more into that services, what would you do? Would you take on that kind of behemoth or that juggernaut client?
That's actually what we have traditionally done on the service side of our business, which has really been a Fortune 500 business. So we do have juggernaut clients there. In the early days when we were smaller, in some cases, you know, these would be 40% of revenue. That's a very precarious place to be with any customer. And so we've since diversified our client base, both on the service side and especially on the product side. So no one customer is more than 10% now. Certainly, we are much more capable of taking on a juggernaut client now, because now we have the in-house technology to basically to make all our services scalable.
I think that stays with your vision of really wanting to focus on the mid-market?
We're not just focused on the mid-market. The mid-market is a market extension for us. We already have the large corporate market, so we're not forsaking that market at all. We're just adding a new market. We're extending to a new one. So by going into the mid-market with product sales, when they find out about a really good service like ours, it tends to go viral. Mid-market email marketers talk to email marketers in large corporations as well. So we think this will actually take umpire into the Fortune 500.
So finally, Randy, I'm curious. You talk about extending your market. We know that we focused a bit on mid-market today because we had a reason to do so for our audience. Mm-hmm. You said that we go beyond that and you're striving to go beyond that. So I'm really curious, the three lessons that you would share with other entrepreneurs looking to extend their markets.
Well, I think number one is always remain an adolescent, you know, so we could just remain very comfortable and stay in the Fortune 500 market. But I think that's what kills you. You start to atrophy, you get comfortable, and you start losing your imagination. So it's always good to shake things up. So that's what we did by going after the mid-market, which is kind of a neglected market and required a different kind of product. For lack of a better term, as a business, you always have to remain somewhat adolescent and not get too hardened into the arteries. I guess secondly, when you do something like this, you really have to try new marketing approaches. The way we've sold the Fortune 500 market doesn't really apply here, mainly because there are many, many more businesses to address. So you have to try new marketing approaches. So we've hired lead generation companies for calling and qualifying leads for us that we can close. And with mid-market, you have to be prepared for a much more engaged customer. Why is that? With the larger the organization, the more bureaucratic. So we find with our corporate customers, I mean, they're in meetings all day. When you get into a mid-sized market, it tends to be more entrepreneurial. In fact, sometimes you're dealing with the actual proprietor or one of them. So we find these people are more engaged in a much more direct way, which is both exciting, but it's challenging. They are really in tune with their business, and they expect you to be in tune with their business, too. They don't expect you to know just about digital marketing and messaging. They expect you to know their business, their problems, their competitors, their competitive pressures. So it's a more demanding market that way, but in some ways it's a much more fun market too.
Well, it certainly is more fun, particularly because I couldn't agree with you more. Everyone in the small to mid-sized business expects all of their advisors to wear a lot of hats and to have the answers to many questions. Randy Litchfield, CEO, Inbox Marketer, inboxmarketer.com. Randy, thank you for being a guest on the Profit Business Cast.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Benegold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto, and you can reach me at robert@businesscast.ca.
And I'm Andrew Brown, President of Right on the Money, and you can reach me at andrew@businesscast.ca.
And as always, you can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. That's it. See you next time in the morning, everyone, and good night, Malignant Cove, Nova Scotia.